Blog Talk Radio.
And the collective wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of this show. My guest this evening is Sheila Odette, a.k.a. Astrology's Astrologer. Our discussion tonight surrounds the spectacle of Charlie Sheen and addiction. Plus, Sheila has done the chart of Libya and her leader, Gaddafi. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Odette. Hello, dear Sheila.
I just piled in on the moment, didn't I?
Yes. Well, it was. I was glad to see your number jump up because I was about to.
Do you ever go into this thing where you're kind of in deep thinking, and then you know all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, you know? I guess everybody does.
Like what day is it, and am I supposed to be doing something? Like,
yes.
I'm forgetting. Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, it was funny. It was really rather strange. Okay, I guess we'll talk about Charlie first since everybody else is, right?
Yeah, I don't know why.
It seems like he's in the morphogenic field of... the reason that people are so interested in it is because it's like he's outside of the way we socialize. I mean, he's just outside the parameters. And... it's very scary to a lot of people, and
I think it is. They're just ranting and railing about the poor guy. Like this, I was on Facebook today, and somebody had a friend of mine had mentioned that he had seen an interview with Charlie Sheen and didn't think that he seemed insane at all. He said he may be a tad eccentric. Well, boy, did that just it was hysterical how people were just sort of. Charlie Sheen, you know, it's like he's insane, he's a lunatic, he's this, he's that. But I think there are larger issues here,
that was the Piers Morgan interview. He really
was. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. That. Yeah, that's what it was.
And he was telling the other side of what he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other side of what he's dealing with is, you know, basically it's really interesting to look at the astrological mandala in relationship to whatever our perception of reality is, and then go inside the mandala. And when you look at Charlie Sheen's chart, it's like Michael Jackson's a bit. And they were born, he was born on, you know, September the 3rd, and Jackson was born on August the 28th. And it really means that there's some minds and some energy, vibratory forces that move very fast in this planet. Their vibrations move very fast as they go through. And Charlie Sheen, in me talking from a creative artist field, I was saying this series is driving him nuts. This series is going to drive him nuts because when a person that runs at that creative level and is that quick with their mind in a comedic sense and all, if it's not kept challenged, they go off. They just go off. And what they did was instead of saying, okay, Charlie, we're not offering you more money because he was trying to get out then. We're not going to just throw money at you. We're just going to close down the series right now. Similarly to Robert Downey Jr., who, you know, he went into Ally McBeal after he came out of prison, and he went back on drugs. And that series was not enough to keep him, to keep up with him. So he married this producer, and he's doing Sherlock Holmes, and then he does Iron Man, and then he does an independent film, then he does, you know, he is, it's constantly changing, constantly keeping his mind moving, where Charlie Sheen is like stuck in a thing where he's playing his own real life, but not really well, and they're having women and alcohol and all this on the show and calling it a family show, you know, which is like, and it has, I mean, come on, he's like a money machine to them, and he's going to the writer and saying, this writing is not stimulating to me,
right,
you know,
right,
I'm like over it, and so there, you know, that's just, you know, he has, when you ever see Uranus-Pluto conjunct in a chart, in Virgo, conjunct the sun, you know that this is a vibratory energy that can is deep and can blow up at any minute. And it can blow up mentally, physically, emotionally, and the glyph turns in on Virgo spiritually. So he's just all over the map now, moving from one representational system to the other, you know? And it's interesting to watch, but if you pick out some of the verbiage, and then you have people like Drew Pinsky, of course, and all of these medical people, that their perception of reality is basically, this is what, you know, this is their living. I mean, they have got to have people like Charlie Sheen, or they don't make a living.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, there's two sides of the coin. You have to stay sick so I can fix you, you know, in their perception of reality. He said, I've been in rehab for 22 years, and it's a 5%. It is. It's a 5%. 5% stay well, and we just got a call today, you know, in Harrisburg, this guy that was so good, came out of rehab, he was great job and everything, they're now hunting for him because he cut a woman in the face and a baby, you know, got it by accident, the baby, but, you know, it's just, you know, it's like 5% can hold on, it's so, you know, and there has to be, and another way of doing it, you know, and the redundancy of standing in an AA meeting, telling your story over and over and over again is just anchoring in the shame and the guilt. I mean, it's not, and you know, Kate, I don't know how you think about that, but after a while you say, okay, I've told my story enough. I'm moving on,
like,
right?
Okay, yeah, it's like, I am an alcoholic. How boring is that? I mean, it has to be the most boring label that anybody has ever had, and it's time to move on.
Well, we don't stand around and say, I'm a cancer victim for the rest of their life, or, you know, any other disease.
People do that, though. I mean, you know that people would stay stuck in their victim illness mentality. I have seen people do it, but not everybody does it, for sure. I have seen people do it, though.
Yeah, and then
I need to clarify something though. Charlie Sheen is born 9/3, and MJ is born 8/23. Are they born the same year?
No, Michael Jackson is born in 1958, and Charlie Sheen was born in 1965. Interesting enough, though, when the June 25th. Michael Jackson's son had progressed to 24/33 of Libra, and right now Charlie Sheen's whole thing is at 25 of Libra, his progressed son. So it's like, you know, you go from a Virgo and then you travel through the next sign. So, and right now, as we speak, Charlie Sheen, his Uranus was at 14 degrees of Virgo, almost 59 seconds, and his Pluto was 15 degrees of Virgo, 56. But they're very slow moving, but now they're on top of each other. They're 17 degrees of Virgo. And they're down in the belly of the chart. That's what I call the belly, you know?
Yes, yes.
And so the belly of the belly of the whale means I repress it, I repress it, I repress it. It doesn't look like he represses it because they get him, the paparazzi really gets him on television when he's acting out. But there's in-between points there that he did make 8 shows last year. You know, there's in-between points of work. And up until this point, they said he was never late for work. And, you know, Whoopi Goldberg was interesting, too. And now they're saying he forgot lines. And Whoopi Goldberg said, "What? Who doesn't?" You know?
Yeah, really.
I mean,
don't you know how much of this is really mental illness and how much of it is pure addiction, not addiction, but substance abuse?
Well, I want to say if you did on a night in when he went on his spree, if you were doing round, huge tennis balls of cocaine, is not going
to
be right for 6 months.
And that would be enough to take a machete into a crowd of people, as apparently he did today or yesterday or whatever. When he heard that he was no longer going to be on his show, he apparently took a machete out and started whipping it around. But, you know, it's like I know that doctors and nurses tend to misdiagnose things when somebody is high on drugs or alcohol, as opposed to and they misdiagnose something when it's really that they're high as a kite and they don't make any sense, and an older person is confused, say, and they're on a bunch of drugs because they're being prescribed the drugs, and instead of saying they've been over medicated, they say that there's something that all of a sudden they're off in their brain, and my gosh, he has not Alzheimer's, but when somebody's
dementia.
I mean, it's just what I think that might be going on with Charlie Sheen.
Well, yeah, and the point is, too, that, you know, his verbiage, if you really listen to his verbiage, the one line that he said that was very interesting was, okay, if somebody says they've been locked in a closet and abused when they were a kid, and they tell it over and over again, just bring me an ashtray from that point in time right now, and then I'll listen to you. Now, nobody really got that. But
yeah, that's pretty brilliant, if you ask me.
that is like, and I'm like, you know, and I said that to some people, and they look at me and they go, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, it means basically that you can't fix it back there.
Yeah, yeah.
That it has to be basically
now,
in the moment, because it's showing up in the moment in some way if you have not somehow fixed it. So you don't have to go back and tell it a million times.
I really like that statement, actually. That is brilliant.
Yeah, and some of his verbiage that was coming out was brilliant. And, you know, the other thing is, in the reality of how you look at it, if he'd have been doing stand-up, he would they would have been coming back saying he was brilliant. If he'd have gone out on the stage and did stand-up comedy about this, you know, they would have been saying he was brilliant. So it's the perception of reality of the way it's presented and where it's presented, because, you know, but today, what you're talking about, he went over, completely over the edge. His eyes were all red. I don't know if he's using again. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was manic, like you said, for about 2 weeks. But this last thing was like, and I've been talking about Charlie Sheen, and you know, I've been told not to talk about him anymore.
What did she say?
Joanne, listen to Joanne.
What did she say?
I said it gets boring.
Well, I think that, to me, if you want my honest opinion about this, the preoccupation with Charlie Sheen is not, I'm not saying you, Sheila, but I think it's the perfect excuse for the media to tune into something like that at the expense of really tuning into things that are
important,
controversial in our society, like what's going on in Wisconsin. Apparently, it's not being reported properly.
Well, it was so interesting because on Piers Morgan, then Anderson Cooper came in with his scenario that he was going to do on the next show, and he said, he was talking about Libya, you know, and all of this, and it came back, and Charlie Sheen said, "Now that's what they should be focused on." Absolutely. He said that himself.
Yes.
He said, in the whole overall scheme of things, what am I in relationship to that? You know?
Well, he's so right. He look at his father. His father has to be one of the most amazing people in the world.
Yes.
Martin Sheen did Gettysburg up in – he did that movie Gettysburg up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and some friends of ours were attending to him in a restaurant, and he would go in all the time, and he would tip very well, and he was kindly, and he was gentle, and everybody just loved him, and that really says a lot about the man.
Uh-huh.
And then you have Tom Berenger, on the other hand, who who basically was like Charlie Sheen. He's drinking far too much and telling everybody to go, you know what, themselves.
Uh-huh.
So the alcohol does that to people, and so does cocaine, and so do all the other drugs.
Yeah.
If you're going to mix and match, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, and you know, it was interesting. The next night, I think it was when Matt Damon was on Pierce. After that, and I mean, this guy is running his career and his life with graciousness and dignity, and you know, and humbleness, because Anthony Hopkins had been on the show and he said he was in bed looking at television with his wife. It was very adorable. And he said all of a sudden, you know, Pierce was talking about what Anthony Hopkins said, that Matt Damon was a great actor. And he said, I said to my wife, what did he just say? He said, play that back. He said, that's like God telling you you're good, you know?
Yes.
So, but, you know, he's interested in the drinking water of the world, and that right now, as we're speaking, every second a child is dying from bad water, you know, from not the right, you know, water, and that it's running right under their feet in a village, and these people come in and just tap, you know, and they have to walk for miles and miles for water, and they don't realize that it's right under them, and that they can drill in right there and get the water. You know, they have to have people to come in to show them that. It's really very interesting. So now why don't we talk about the other one, Gaddafi.
Okay.
He's
insane.
He's tribal. I mean, it's really interesting to me, and Joanne can get on this, the tribal mentality, you know, is he's like back in another time, and, you know, even looking at him, you know, it's like the people are the sheep, and you herd the sheep, and you get the sheep, you know, they're not like people, I'm God, and he, interestingly enough, Gaddafi has Uranus, Saturn, Sun, Mercury, and Jupiter all in Gemini. Now, Charlie Sheen has Jupiter in Gemini rising, but, this is, you know, not a stupid man. This is a man that's very, very conniving and very strategy oriented and really high on the chess game. And he has, but what is bad here in his chart is the moon is in Aries. It's at 4 degrees of Aries. And now Jupiter is in Aries. And as of the 11th of this month, Uranus will be in Aries. And when we have, and it's going to be right on top of his moon, and Pluto is in Capricorn, you know, squaring that off. So he's going to fall. I mean, it's just
that makes sense.
But you know, then again, Libya is a Capricorn nation. With the moon in Scorpio, which is really interesting. And Pluto is laying right on top of Libya's sun.
Interesting.
Plutonically, the old historical, the old stuff is going to crumble. That's what's happening in the world. I think that's what 2012 is. It's just like in, you know, Wisconsin and all this stuff. The people no longer are going to be herded. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work.
I think people are really yearning to be free.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. And actually, the Mayan calendar does not come to an end in 2012. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, the 9th of March is a one of the it's like from now, or I should say from tomorrow until the 28th of October, is the full evolution of the ending of the Mayan calendar, which is the end of duality, the beginning of unity consciousness, where the duality will fall away. And you can almost see it. I mean, doesn't it make sense with all of these uprisings and people really seeing for once and for all what the truth about life, and that they don't want to be herded anymore, and it's just going to get more intense as time goes on, and more radicalized, I think.
You know, numerologically, the 2011, the 2 is duality, and 11 is illumination. So duality, what you're saying, I think, is absolutely true. It's going to happen this year.
Yes, it is going to happen.
You can see it in the Middle East. It's happening.
Well, I think it is happening.
It's happening, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what really is beautiful about it. Everybody's thinking that it's going to happen next year when it's happening
right under our noses. The beautiful thing in the news tonight was watching the women saying, "We are equal in Egypt." I mean, it was very, very beautiful to say that we are no longer going to be not equal in, you know.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, too. You know, Amy was on your show last week.
Yes.
Talking about some of this. And the thing about, you know, it's time now to think with your heart and feel with your mind.
Yes.
And the thing is, the feminine energy is coming into its own. Because we tend to think with our heart.
It's a
feminine nature.
Today is the International Day of the Woman.
Women, yeah.
That's very cool.
Also, Fasnacht Day.
Yes. Did you have one?
Yes. I had a half of one.
I had a half.
We rode around till we found one, and guess we were riding all around to find one. And when we got over to this other store, they said, on the corner of your block, they're selling them. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that would be the coffee shop.
The Chestnut Hill. Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. We got the last 5.
No, this is a big year. I mean, and this all this stuff is happening. And the thing about I'm bored, I have to say, with Charlie Sheen and His Eminence, but there's a point being made there. He's representative of that kind of hysterical, manical, bipolar stuff, which is it's got to be dealt with, because there it is. There it is.
Yeah, it is right there. Yes.
Yeah. Unavoidable and sensationalized, and therefore part of that. It's part of our things we've created to bring into our attention to deal.
Well, and then you go by,
yes,
you know, basically why we come out of the vortex and the vortex of all we are and come into the contrast of our being. And Charlie Sheen is meant to do this at this time. I mean, that he's programmed, that is what he's meant to do this for, some kind of a learning experience.
Right. Well, how about Sean Penn is taking him to Haiti. Have you heard that?
That would be good. I think it'd be great, don't you?
Well, Sean Penn also tried to put Robert Downey Jr. on a plane to rehab and took him, and Robert Downey Jr. went in the front door and out of the back. So I'm going to wait till he's in Haiti, Kate. You know what I'm saying?
You want to talk about the King's Speech stuff you uncovered? Have you seen the King's Speech movie, Kate?
I really want to, but I haven't.
Oh, my God. Take a lot of Kleenex. It's absolutely...
Well, I did King George VI chart, and it's very interesting that he really had a great deal of, you know, trouble with the speech and the stammer. And you know, you think about what, metaphorically, we all have, you know, I think everybody loves this movie because we all have some kind of a hidden struggle in our life some way.
Mm-hmm.
But this
mm-hmm.
is the man that really, you know, was thrown into the spotlight and had to speak, you know. And we talked to Yvonne Kay, who was over there at that time. She's a healer and a counselor in Philadelphia. And she said that, you know, he and Queen Elizabeth would climb over rocks to get to people to talk to them, to the, you know, people that were hiding in shelters and things. She said they were really involved with the people. They weren't like some far distant, you know, monarchy. They
mm-hmm.
were really there when really revered by the people. So you look and you see that he has he's a Sagittarius with Mercury conjunct the Sun in Sagittarius. Now Mercury is what the speaking voice. Mercury is
right.
How we speak, and that Mercury ruled Pluto, Neptune at the bottom of the chart are retrograde, and they're in Gemini. So
mm-hmm.
Mercury rules this Pluto Neptune thing, the Pluto Neptune thing, and that's where his divine yod is. It's a yod pointed to that, a finger of God. So almost, you know, there's a book by James Hillman. Which
mm-hmm.
is really very interesting. It's called Soul Code. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's one
I
of my
have it,
Bibles.
Actually. And I've never read it. I have it, but I've never read it.
It's one of my Bibles. I just love that book. It's like, you know, great. This the one bullfighter hid behind his mother's skirts when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because, you know, eventually he was going to become a bullfighter and these bulls were going to come at him. And so it tells a lot of things. It talks about Truman Capote, about this one teacher that was really prominent in telling him, because the kids made fun of him, of course, and everything. And she said he was going to be a great writer, and she became his mentor. The book is all about the coding. And so when you look at this chart right away, you go, this man, you know, this Stammer was, really in some way, almost like he knew the magnitude of what was going to happen to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he had Venus, Saturn, Uranus, and the Moon all in Scorpio. And that would be, you know, I don't want to be king. I don't want this, you know, I don't want this. Saturn in Scorpio. Saturn in Scorpio means you are basically afraid of power. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're afraid, and the father is so powerful that you think you can never be as powerful as him. And I thought one of the parts in the movie that was really interesting was the fact that the teacher, played by Jeffrey Rush, was he put headphones on him to play, you know, to be or not to be, the famous speech, and he told him to read it out loud, and he played music.
Mm-hmm.
In these
oh.
headphones. And mm-hmm. he gave him the record, and he said, this is ridiculous, and he walked out. And then later on, when he's beginning to realize what was going to happen, he played the record. Now, when he played the record, there was no stutter at all.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the outside had created it for the inside. In other words, his fear of talking to people and whatever was really when he was reading it just out loud to himself with the music in his ears, he was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So you really look at how the conditions of the external world create what you are.
That's right.
You know,
we
are created by our conditions, and it's really interesting because, you know, the autistic children and that come in, they will not be socialized. That's their job. They will not be
mm-hmm.
socialized. And, you know, they are on their own thing, and they're but we want to socialize them. We want them to fit in. We want them to not embarrass us. We, you know, all of those kind of things.
Yeah.
And one of their missions is the differentiation of being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I think the Down syndrome children are just the most beautiful children in the world. They're so sweet and so loving and so connected to God when you're around them, you know, they're just,
yes.
And, you know, I've worked with counselors of autistic children. I had one like a week and a half ago, and then there's one in Florida. And these women, in many ways, there's a shell around them too. They know, I worked with the ones since she was a child, but they have this whole thing. They work so well with autistic children because there's a certain thing around them that they won't socialize either.
Mm-hmm.
But they,
mm-hmm.
but this woman said that she, if a child is across the room, she knows exactly where that child is and what that child's feeling. So it's the vibrational energy. It's about feelings and vibration, emotional vibration that these people that work with these children, that's how they connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not you know, intellectual stuff. Every time we connect on an emotional level with somebody else.
Right.
So, interesting enough, Colin Firth is also a Virgo. I mean, it is a time of Virgos. You know,
yeah.
He was born in 1960. He was born September the 10th. I'm like going, whoa, they're just flying out of the computer, you know. And he also has Pluto in Virgo, of course, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the north node in Virgo connected and the south node in Pisces. And his north node is connected to Virgo, and he has Mercury in Virgo. So he was able to get into this man physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you know? He really, and it was interesting, they said on the set that the director got into it so much that he couldn't give his notes. He was,
mm-hmm.
the director started stuttering so bad that it took him an hour to give notes.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, you get into the morphogenic field of working with the
mm-hmm.
material, and you become the material. It's really very fascinating, isn't it?
Yes.
And so, and I was interested in the fact that halfway through the movie, they found the notes of the original guy that worked with the stammer, the teacher,
mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Rush's part. But
mm-hmm.
nowhere in, you know, when it came on the screen, they were doing these exercises, and I was like, well, they look just like the acting exercises I did in New York, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here that's what they used.
Oh, that's really interesting, yeah.
Yeah, they used the acting thing like you did, like, you know, Neighborhood Playhouse is where I was, or Actors Studio, the you know, and jump, and all that roll, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's because he didn't make any notes about the thing that he did. To make him,
mm-hmm.
To correct the stammer, which I thought was also very fascinating. Okay. All righty. Does anybody want to say anything?
Well, the reason I wanted to bring this movie up because I thought it fit in with some of the stuff we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it was, my impression was as I listened to the people who produced it and worked with it, the writer of the movie was himself a stammerer in his childhood and was interested in writing about this and called the Queen Mother at the time to ask permission to do this. And she said, please, not while I'm alive, because it's too painful to watch.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, so, yeah.
He didn't know she was going to live to be 102, but he honored that. And so it was a gift of his own, as he said, when I heard this about this man, and I was a boy, and I heard about this, and I thought, if he can do this, I can do it too. So I think the courage, and I've had friends who go to it, and it became a hit. I think because it touches the human heart and touches the human courage, and does evoke a response, a loving response. If this man with all this could do this, I too can do this. I mean, I can find a way to make a difference in my life and overcome anything. Just give me something to do it with, and I'll work it out. And I just think
mm-hmm.
it touched the human heart in a way that made it a big, big hit.
Well,
when you think about communication too,
yeah,
it's part of what.
Yeah. Well,
that's
you,
all
and you
about.
Never think, you know, you never think that a person, the King of England, would be going through this. It just, you know, it made it such a human story.
Yeah.
Well, it's the thing. It's not what you achieve. It's what you overcome.
Yeah.
It's not how you fall down. It's how you get up.
Right, right.
You know, it's when somebody says, no, you know, you can't do that. It's like, yes, I can. You know, yes,
mm-hmm.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to. And Queen Elizabeth was actually a Leo. I mean, she was Mercury conjunct the sun in Leo. So, and her moon was in Scorpio, and it was on top of his. So they were, that whole bond there, they were deeply, deeply connected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, and some of the lines in the movie is, I married you because I thought you would not be king. So both of them had this refusal, and that's what real heroes do. There's a refusal at the gateway of doing something. There's a refusal, and not only was there a refusal, there was a stammer, you know?
Yes.
There was a physical refusal, too. So, you know, and then, you know, on the other hand, the other movie of the year was Black Swan, which hit the whole other emotional thing around.
But it was the same kind of thing.
It was.
Touching a human heart and doing a different, you know, finding a way to get breakthrough in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it, you know, being in the field of dance all my life, actually, you know, people may think when they see this movie it's exaggerated, but it's not. I mean, I mean, when you are in dance class in a New York place, if somebody teaches with a stick and kind of hits you in the back of the leg or tells you to straighten your shoulder, or that you really want them to do that. I mean, I found that when I opened the Institute in Lancaster, and then I had a teacher from New York, one of the teachers, that she, because I came from Lancaster, I could adjust when I came back. But she still decided to teach the New York way. And, I mean, they fell out of her class like flies because it wasn't the right morphogenic field where, you know, you use a stick and you yell like that. But in New York, it's a whole different, it's a whole different vibration around that. But the thing about the Black Swan I thought that was so telling was the emotional thing of when you give someone something they're not ready for. They can be ready physically, they can be ready technically, they can have all the steps, they can be ready physically, but if they're not ready emotionally and spiritually, it's going to shatter them. And that was what the movie was about. She was not, she was still a 12-year-old in a grown-up body, and her mother kept her room. It was done very well. Her mother kept her room with little pink things and things. So she was not grown up, and she didn't go out to clubs. She didn't go through that whole period of growing up. And what happened when the guy picked her to do the Black Swan, she came in and he went to kiss her and she bit him. Mm-hmm. And he assumed that she was more grown up than she was, or
yes,
she was ready for this part. Then when he started to figure out it wasn't, he was saying things like go out and get laid, or, you know, putting her down in the studio. But she, you know, you just can't jump from that vibration into going through that whole puberty thing and be up there to do the other side.
What are the astrological aspects of that? We're talking about Scorpio in one sense.
Yeah, we're talking about you're asked to do a Scorpio role.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you're really what?
When you're really, I mean, if we want to stay in the water signs, you're really, well, you know, you can go by, you're really asked to do a plutonic role. Let's do it that way.
Yeah.
When you're still in Venus, Mercury, and Mars, which are the in some ways they are the immature planets, we call them, because Venus, you know, turns into Neptune when you become mature, and you know, Mars turns into Pluto when you become mature, and Mercury turns into Uranus when you become mature.
Yeah.
When you go through the whole vibrational energy of having courage and
so she was still stuck in the bottom half. They're really, really stuck in the bottom half of her chart, and not being forced to elevate herself into the upper half.
Well, she would go in the studio and continue to go over the steps and go over the steps and go over the steps. The steps were fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see
there's no passion, no feeling in them.
Well, you can see this in. I mean, we can see this more and more in like American Idol. By the way, if anybody's listening here and they've stopped watching American Idol, it is brilliant this year. These people on American Idol this year, I don't know, they took the age limit down to 15 and 16. I'm telling you, these children are born cable ready. I mean, they really are. And I watched the Hollywood Week and all, and Steven Tyler must be one of the most gracious men I've ever seen. I mean, sensitive, gracious, beautiful. I want to marry him, you know. And J-Lo, too, but we're used to seeing a show where Simon Cowell and them, they made fun and they ridiculed and they put people down. Well, as soon as Randy even went near there, Steven Tyler said, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so did J-Lo. Because these people are really artists that are coming from the field that know what kind of ocean waters you go through, you know, to what rejection is, and they had to go through that. And so it's a whole different show, don't you think, Joanne?
Well, yes, it is. See, what we're hitting on here, too, is the same kind of theme, even though we seem to be skipping about a bit, but it's the challenges of really coming in through feeling into a whole new way of looking and experiencing one's life. And we have all these examples of how to do it, both in theater, in movies, in real life, and in the world, in the Middle East thing. It's all, and underneath it all is the same kind of vibration, which is shaking us up and forcing us, whether we want to or not, because we don't like to change. It's very difficult to do it, but we're being challenged to do that in so many levels and ways. It's really very exciting, and it's also very scary.
I think it's the whole thing. There's your truth, and there's the other person's truth, and then there's the cold, hard truth, and then basically there's the compassionate truth, and that's the one where we're coming to. And I think, I'm again on shows, but I think this new show with Kathy Bates on television is Harry's Law, is, again, it's David Kelly. And David Kelly is one of the best writers about compassionate truth. I mean, every single show is poignant. Isn't it, Joanne?
What's the name of the show?
Harry's Law.
It's called Harry's Law.
You would love it because it's touching all the issues that you and Tom are ardent about.
It's on Monday night.
It's really quite provocative and illuminating. And
she works in the ghetto out of a shoe store. They're selling shoes, and she runs a law office out of there. And so, I mean, in one show, she said she was going to be a moderator of the gangs. Of two sides of a street war that where one person was going to kill another one. And she's sitting there, and I mean, basically, she didn't even have the language.
Yeah.
You know, and this one last week was about a kid got shot in the liver, and the whole thing was around the fact that was he worthy of a liver? Because he was, you know, and it's really poignant stuff. It's really stuff that makes you think. It's not just a regular. You walk away from the show. I love things like that, and you.
Well, it's illuminating. It's illuminating the insistence on the legal system to be legal, to follow the rules, and what this show is showing is how the legal system has lost its heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's lost its ability to be sensible.
I have to say that would be true of all of the. The blows against the empire thing is really happening, and the empire has lost its soul.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and that's what. And see, this is what's being shown to us again in so many different ways. You know.
Yeah.
It's just you read the newspaper with a whole different way of looking and feeling about stuff, because when you can read between the lines, you can.
Did you see the Michael Moore video? Yeah. Did you see the Michael Moore video on my blog today?
I only able to watch half of it. My God, I'm so glad he did this.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We only had time.
I loved when he said, well, why am I doing this? Why don't I just get on a plane and go there?
Yeah,
I thought that was.
I'd love that too.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Well, that's like I want to be in the experience. I want to be there instead of from afar. And that's.
That was so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. He really. And it was very radical, and it was a message that everyone received wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Well, I really am very, these 14 men, I really am quite
the Wisconsin
quite beautiful.
14, yes, they are our heroes.
Yeah.
Finally, the Democrats have gotten a little guts. My God.
Wait, they had it. It's just hidden. I love this one thing this week, you know, I was listening to this one thing and the mother said, well, I don't know what to teach my kid. And the woman said, you can teach him to be a Democrat, then the Republicans will be against him. You teach him to be Republican, anything you teach him, somebody's going to be against him. So teach him anything. I
now,
thought it was really.
Joan Adams is in the chat room, and she wants you to. She agrees with you that there's more talent on Idol than ever before, and she wonders if Sheila, you would tell us what your number one pick is for Idol this year, or the top three if you have it.
Okay, Casey, the guy that plays the
cello,
the bass. Yeah, he plays the bass. And I just think that boy doesn't even need American Idol. And the what's his name that sang God Bless the Child? Oh, my God. He sang God Bless the Child, Kate, on Hollywood Week. I have never heard. He could have been on. It could have been the closing show, and he would have won everything. And this was just an audition to get into the top 24.
Jackson said it was the best performance audition they'd ever had in the whole years.
And he was so in the vortex of energy that he ran outside and he was sobbing. And he said, I don't know, I don't cry. What is going on? Well, he had gotten himself, you know, when you do a performance and you just get. But he sang A Room Is Not a Room. And the other guy plays, I don't know how many instruments. And they were the last two that were on the male show. But, you know, man, I'm like the little kid that is the Texan kid. What's his name? He sings in that bass, and he has that twinkle in his eye. What is his name? He's the other one that I'm just nuts about. And then the other guy sounds just like Rod Stewart. If you turn your head, you think it's Rod Stewart.
It's
unbelievable. And he has this funny little walk. You know, Rod has a funny little walk, but he has his own funny little walk. Then I'm not going to say the women are bad. I mean, there's some of the women, this last girl that sang Hero, oh, my God. And it's just, you know, I don't know if it was just, you know, you wonder about did these, in the morphogenic field or in the electromagnetic field, did these new judges pull these people in? Because it's just like a different show. It's like the first year it was on.
Really?
Yeah, it's like amazing. And my friend in Florida, I called her and I told her, she said, I don't watch American Idol anymore. She'll come on. I said, please just watch. So she turned it on and then she called her daughter down and she said, I don't watch it anymore. See, that's what's happening. And then they both watched it. They went, oh, my God, oh, my God. She's on the phone and said, oh, my God, you know.
Well, what's the word-of-mouth thing? A lot of people aren't watching it, but then people are starting to talk it up. It's going to be every bit as popular,
so,
I think.
Now I want to know Jones.
Well, she said she has it written down somewhere. And she
that's not helping
that,
me.
I don't know where it is, but she's getting ready to go to Seabrook, so she's packing and stuff. She says the country singer is good.
Yeah, that's the one she was referring
that's
to.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Is that Casey, she said?
Casey, no, Casey's the bass player.
Okay.
Is his name
Josh,
Casey?
Is there Josh or Judson?
Josh is the one that's saying God Bless the Child. And I don't know who, I forget the kid's name. I'll know them all by next week, but, you know. It's just a really good show. I mean, I mean, when you want to fast forward through some people that you know that are not so good, it's not like that. There were 24, and I swear to God, they could have picked the whole 24. I mean, that's how good they were. And you were sad, and you know, this one J-Lo, I mean, she really broke down. They had to shut the cameras off. She was crying because this boy that came in and auditioned. His wife-to-be was in this head-on car crash and had brain damage and, oh, beautiful, beautiful girl. It's just a catastrophic accident. And now they said she wouldn't live, but he tried out and then she was out there in a wheelchair and they brought her in. Now, J-Lo said hello very graciously and so did Randy Jackson, but Steven Tyler got down on his knee.
Oh,
and whispered
sweet.
In her ear, you know why he sings so beautifully? It's because he loves you so much. It was.
Oh, my gosh.
It was.
What's the moment?
Oh, my
was,
God. That's
and, I mean,
beautiful.
He tactfully hugged her and got down. He moved. The other two moved back, but he just went right in.
Well, that's a healing moment, a very healing thing for her because we don't know the ramifications of such a beautiful, you know, extending himself that way.
Yes.
We don't know the ramifications.
Well,
of
the one thing the boy said, he said that she can't talk very much, but she just says Stephen. See what you're saying. She got the whole feeling of the moment. Now, they had to reject him out of the and J-Lo had to tell him.
Yeah.
And she said, I couldn't, she just broke down and said, I don't know if I could have done it, Kate. I mean, honest to God. It was, and the boy, he was okay. He said, you know, and he had walked out, and then he saw the footage. He said, man, it's just wonderful that I knew she cared that much, you know? But through this, they had no medical help, and they've gotten all kinds of medical help.
Oh, good.
Girl. Yeah.
Good.
A new wheelchair, and somebody donated a car, a van, and all kinds of. So, you know, these shows do some really beautiful things.
They do. Now, I was going to ask, have you heard that Gabrielle Giffords is going to get back into the legislature in the next few weeks? Is that something
I have no doubt whatsoever about that.
I don't have any doubt either.
The healing energy available to us is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It's just incredible
to us. And we're seeing it now more than ever.
Yes.
And because people, I don't know why, I know for myself, I have banished all doubt. And I refuse to really believe anything that anybody tells me.
It's just a good thing. Make up your own mind. Yeah. Well, we know labels. We label these things like Charlie Sheen, the bipolar, we put labels, and then you're stuck with them if you let them adhere to you.
If you believe them.
If you believe them,
yes.
Well,
it diminishes it into a place where we can handle it.
It makes it dismissive.
Yeah.
Come on.
You've labeled it and it has become a cliche.
Yeah.
And then it's dismissed.
Well, Charlie Sheen, you know, he said anything I touch turns to money. Now all these things that he's coming up with, they're making T-shirts and cups, and he's going to make millions of dollars off of this winning. People are using it for their cell phone tone.
Good. More power to him. Is it making him happy? Is it making him the most ecstatic person in the world? No.
I think people don't understand when you are in some kind of apathy and some kind of stuff that that you cannot just leap up into another thing. You have to go through, and his rage is big, his rage and anger and revenge. You have to go through that vibration to get to the next one. It's just the way it is. You know, if I'm working with somebody, like I was working with this girl from New York, and she was looking at me, and she was very timid, and she probably listening. Oh, my God. Okay? And she said very quietly, I'm getting very angry at you. And I said, good. Can you get a little louder with that?
I love it. That's so cute. I know. It's really cute.
Because basically, you know, if you pull them, if someone starts crying or they start screaming or they start yelling, they're basically bringing their vibration up. And you know, as soon as somebody gets mad, angry, and starts yelling, we want to put them in jail. You know, we want to close them down.
Or we want to label them as mentally unstable or an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever. And nobody's really, and people believe their labels. And
yeah.
I think in a way, well, isn't Charlie Sheen on the cover of People magazine saying, and then the headline is, I am insane. Well, you know, I guess he started to believe it.
It's not the headline. It's way down at the bottom, Kate.
I saw it though.
Well, then what does the word insane mean?
It means I'm insane inside my own head.
Yeah, insanity means going insanity to me means going in to find sanity, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, he's absolutely right when he said, you know, they want to put me back in rehab. Now, how many rehabs am I going to? It's not working.
We can't stop talking about it. It really is just interesting, isn't it?
Well, I think
we're
talking.
It's interesting, and I'm...
We're now talking about, Joanne, we're now talking about the label of the disease.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're now talking about boxes. You know, Kate, you know this
as
a nurse.
Let's talk about the boxes we put God in. That's what. That's going to get broken open here soon.
God.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
oh,
you know, I just want to
yeah.
say, if you, I had a friend that was going along with a lot of pain. He was in the war, and they said it was Agent Orange. And the minute they told him it was cancer, he died within 3 months.
Yeah. I know.
Mean,
isn't that interesting?
The power of the label.
It's the power
yeah.
of the label.
Well. It's terrifying for
yeah.
people, the word cancer and so forth. And
yeah.
that's why I'll give you a little update on Ulysses. He's his tumor is still there, but it's all contained and it's getting smaller.
Great.
He is another miracle, that
he
little
is,
guy.
He is, isn't he? Yes, he is.
Yes, yes. And,
he is
of
indeed.
Course, I could have caved under that diagnosis when the vet told me he had cancer, and I defied the diagnosis.
Do it.
I think people need to defy the diagnosis of these. And it is a wonderful book that is called Overmedicated.
Yeah.
And it has to do, it's a wonderful book, and it has to do with how the pharmaceutical industry is in cahoots with the physicians, you know,
yeah.
and they have all these ideas about the drugs that you need to be on for the rest of your life. And the,
yeah.
point of the point of the matter is, if you're feeling good, don't go to the doctor, for God's sake.
I don't.
No.
In fact, my doctor tried to. I went in for a checkup, and he was trying to keep me in the office because you know, I think he was hearing such terrible things. He wanted to talk about Disney World with me, and then he kept leafing through my thing. I said, "How many times have you leafed through that, Dr. Sanchez? You're trying to keep me in here," and he just
yeah.
started laughing.
yeah.
He said, "Well,
don't look at that."
Well, we were talking about Disney World, and we were talking about, he told me that he has triplets, and he was talking about the joy of the kids, you know, and when the, you know, at Disney World, and I was talking about my experience, and it, you know, it's, you know, I always think what Disney World did for me, as bad as I feel some days, I go, but there's a place where everybody's happy.
The magical
yeah,
kingdom
yeah.
of Oz.
And that's what Disney did for us, you know?
Yes. Yes. Well,
well
I think
is.
That is it is a pretty cool place, I guess. I'll never go, though.
It's okay. I went for you, okay? Well, you
I
know,
must,
it's very commercial. And that's,
I would
it's
like
very
to tell
commercial,
you
and it's very hot. And it's very, you know, when I was there, it's hot and it's sweaty, and I'm going, what am I doing here? And then I stood in
yeah.
front of that castle, and I became five. I mean,
yeah,
I literally became 5 years old, and they came out on the stage. Mickey came out, and I'm yelling, "Hi, Mickey!" And I'm going, "Oh my God!" You know. And everybody's so sweet. I mean, they're not allowed to point their finger for directions, as
yeah.
Joan told us, they have to do their whole hand. You know.
Right,
and
right.
It's just, but if you think, you know, everything is a thought. And this thought came to this man, Disney, and look
mm-hmm.
what he created. So that is
right.
the power of the thought.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And
yep.
It's very, very exciting.
Well, listen, I went out to the barn just as we were talking because there was a something that wasn't smelling right and I wanted to take it out. It was an aromatic odor that was supposed to smell good, but it was really kind of disgusting. So I took it out to the barn. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I was really, if you have an allergy, it wouldn't do anybody in. But anyway, I went out to the barn and I was led to this completely intact necklace of my mother.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
That I haven't seen in years.
Oh,
and
great.
I think it was a message to all of us. That she listens to this show, too.
Do you think it was in a port? Do you think it ported there?
Do I think what?
Do you think it was in a port? I mean, a port is something that the other side just places somewhere.
Yeah, I do, because it's ridiculous. Yeah.
No,
it's
not.
That's fascinating.
What color is it?
What color, yeah.
It's an old Indian bead necklace that she used to wear all the time. Do you remember it? No.
I do.
It was like a little hand-painted beads. So there's three of them, and then little casings are
little
bead casings.
Oh, doesn't that make you give you chills?
Yeah, I just wanted
Hi,
to let
Kitty.
You know.
Hi, Kitty.
Yeah.
Loving.
Yeah, she was wanted us to know that she is listening in, too, and she loves us all, so that's all good.
That's neat. I love you,
yeah.
Kitty Loving.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
We're about done, and I'm going to play the music for Mother and Child, and this was a hysterical show, and I think...
This is the wondering that we touched a lot of bases, and I hope we get some hearts there, okay?
Love you. Love everybody.
Love
Bye.
You. Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.